Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for this morning is taken from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 6 to 9. Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. This is the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the great physician of our souls, dear fellow redeemed, the pain of solar cane. When I think about it, even today, it still makes me cringe. Whenever I would get a scrape or cut as a young child, my mother would douse the exposed area with solar cane, an antibacterial spray. Now, I hated it because it stung more than the actual cut itself, but my mother knew that I needed it so that the cut wouldn't get infected. Now, although it stung initially, it actually felt pretty good after it had been applied and after a bandage was put on. It had a cooling sensation. And regardless of what type of injury we have, these two steps are necessary. First, we must cleanse the exposed area, and then we must cover it until it is properly healed. The Holy Spirit brings a similar picture to us in our text for today. Through the prophet Jeremiah, he describes the healing and abundance of joy that the nation of Israel would receive from the Lord. But he also prophesies of a much greater deliverance from a much greater enemy and a much greater risk of infection, that being sin. May the Spirit bless us as we meditate upon the Lord and how He cleanses our spiritual injuries with His forgiveness. Jeremiah had a difficult task while working in Judah and Israel. He had to speak the truth. Now, he didn't have a problem coming up with the content. God told Jeremiah what he wanted him to say. Rather, the problem was getting the people to listen. You see, that's the problem with the truth. People only want to listen if it contains something that's good for them. But if the message is undesirable, then people will often just deny or deflect. And we see the attitude of the Israelites in our text for today. They didn't want to hear what the Lord said. But we must admit that our text doesn't sound that bad. The language used to describe the Lord's deliverance is absolutely wonderful. All the blessings that would come with His deliverance. But if we back up a couple of verses in our text, we see the side of God's truth that the Israelites didn't want to hear. We read from verses 4 and 5. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah, that were torn down to make a defense against the siege mounds and against the sword. They are coming in to fight against the Chaldeans and to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I shall strike down in my anger and my wrath. For I have hidden my face from this city because of all their evil. What a dire picture that Jeremiah gives preceding the verses of our text. He speaks of a Babylonian invasion in which the very houses of Jerusalem would be torn down to make a defense. And in place of those houses would be filled with dead bodies. How could such two contrasting thoughts be so closely connected in Jeremiah's prophecy? Well, the answer is that it was God's truth, even though the people resisted it. And this truth of God was a reoccurring theme in the Old Testament for the nation of Israel. Jeremiah, like many of the Old Testament books, is riddled with examples of Israel's unfaithfulness before the Lord, turning to the heathen gods instead of following the Lord's word. The Old Testament lists Israel's long list of self-inflicted wounds, wounds which were sure to be infected if not properly taken care of. But with every account of Israel's failings, a stronger example of the Lord's faithfulness and deliverance shines forth, just as we have in our text for today. But what good would the Lord's deliverance from the Babylonians be if He just simply allowed the Israelites to fall into the same thing again? How would Israel stay healthy if the Lord would not cleanse their spiritual injuries? With every proper healing comes the necessary task of getting the infection out of there, cleaning the cut, and then properly applying a bandage. Israel soon realized that this cleansing process of the Lord is not always an enjoyable process. Just as cleaning a cut for us can bring a moment of temporary pain, so the Lord's cleansing process brings a moment of temporary discomfort to our sinful flesh. A little less than a year from Jeremiah's prophecy, these events would come true as the Babylonians would come and carry off the king and much of the population to captivity. They would destroy the very city of Jerusalem. And this captivity would last a long time, about 70 years, but it would not last forever. The Lord's promise of deliverance and prosperity would indeed come true as the exiles would return again to their land. Jerusalem again would be rebuilt and would again be a thriving and prosperous city. But Jeremiah is not just talking about that physical deliverance for Israel. He's talking about a much greater deliverance from a much deadlier enemy than the Babylonians, from the enemy of sin and the infection that it has in our lives. Jeremiah is prophesying of the coming of Jesus, the one he called the branch of righteousness who would grow up from the root of Jesse. A couple of chapters before the events of our text, Jeremiah recorded the Lord's promise about this coming Savior, a message included for all nations, not just physical Israel. In chapter 31, he said, "Behold, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." This covenant or promise would be different than the one he previously established with the Israelites, with Moses on Mount Sinai. That covenant, the first one, was built on the law, was built on the requirements that God had for His people. But Jeremiah says this new covenant, this new second promise, would be built on Christ, would be built on what that Savior, what that Messiah would do for us in our place. And it would be founded on the forgiveness of sins. We see this fulfillment in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews as it writes, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, He is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant." Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant because He is the only one who is able to satisfy the demands of the first covenant. He's the only one who is able to perfectly suffer and die in our place. He's the only one who is able to give the righteousness that God requires from each and every person. A helpful illustration of this in our lives, that we, like the Israelites, need to continually be cleansed from our sin. We need to continually listen to what God says in His truth, whether we like it or not. A good illustration of this is the job of an auto body specialist. Now, when you take your car into an auto body specialist to fix a scrape or a dent or a patch of rust, he doesn't just paint over the area and send you on your way and call it good. Nobody would be happy with that kind of work because although it may look good for a few moments, the problem is going to show itself again. Instead, the specialist must buff out the scratch, must pound out the dent, or must grind away the rust before he can properly apply the paint and finish the job. So likewise, we see an illustration for our spiritual lives that the Lord must cleanse sin out of our lives and then give us the comforting bandage of forgiveness. The Apostle Paul uses a similar illustration in his letter to the Corinthians. He uses the concept of leaven or yeast. He writes to them, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Instead of allowing sin to spread forth in our lives like leaven raises a loaf of bread, Jesus cleanses it out so that it doesn't have that infectious power anymore. And notice what Paul says about this cleansing process. It is built upon Christ's sacrifice for us. Without that sacrifice, we would have nothing to be founded on. Now, just like any cleansing process, the solution often isn't quick or easy. In fact, our sinful flesh would much rather have us hang on to those pet sins that we have. How often we get that attitude in our lives that the Lord seems to owe us something, that no matter how many blessings He gives us, we just want more and more from Him. And so often when He does send a trial or a test our way, we get the attitude that the very world itself is up against us and that God has turned His back on us. So often we take that attitude that the Israelites did with the message of Jeremiah, only receiving the blessings from the Lord, not receiving the trials and the tests. That is because by nature, according to our sinful flesh, we resist the cleansing process. We would rather be dragged down with infection from sin rather than experience the Lord cleansing it out of our life. We see an example of this which we can apply to our own lives in the life of Job. Just after Satan had struck Job with painful boils upon the other tests that he gave him, Job's wife says, "Curse God and die. Forsake God and turn your back on Him because that's what He's done to you." But notice what Job says to her. He says, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from the Lord and not accept adversity?" Job understood the foolishness of his wife's attitude, only accepting blessings from the Lord but not accepting everything else that He says in His Word. Now, before Job had his Satan afflicted Job, he was wealthy and he was strong. He had many servants and many cattle. He was wealthy and prosperous. Do you think that his wife ever complained about that? Do you think she ever said, "Well, the Lord's being too good to us"? No. But the moment that the Lord allowed Satan to test Job, a test to strengthen his faith, she turns his back on him and tries to get Job to do the same. Likewise, we ourselves often act as stubborn and ignorant sheep, resisting the shepherd when we need to be following him. So often we try to stay connected to our pet sins rather than having the Lord painfully strip them away from our flesh. Think about it in your own lives for a moment. Have you ever fallen into a pet sin so often that you've actually convinced yourself that it's okay? Usually it starts out as something very innocent looking, like a white lie or just gossiping about somebody for a few minutes. But what we don't realize is if left unchecked, that sin can grow into a disastrous infection which can destroy our faith. As painful as the Lord's cleansing may be at times for us, we need to understand its value in our life. We need to understand that it is necessary for us to cleanse out that sin from our spiritual lifeline, so that we can become renewed in Christ. In fact, we know about the love that Christ has for us because we know about that very pain which He suffered on our behalf. So often we think that we experience monumental pain in our lives, but what about the pain that Christ went through for us? We've never experienced any type of pain even close to that. Each time we confess our sins and come to the Lord for forgiveness, we are being renewed in Christ. The Holy Spirit is renewing that new man within us and beating back that old man. But all of this would mean nothing without the pain that Christ endured on our behalf. Without Him, we would have no way to combat that infection. We know it can be painful for us to confront our sins and to cut ties with our old man. But consider the pain that Christ went through. Consider the physical agony and suffering he endured on the cross for our sins. Without anybody there to comfort him, without anybody to provide a bandage, all because of what we did. Think about the spiritual pain that he suffered at the hands of God as God turned his back on him because of our sin. God forsook him on the cross because of what we had done. Without a doubt, we can see that Jesus has experienced the greatest pain imaginable. But he did this all for us. He did this because he is the new mediator of the covenant spoken of in Hebrews. He did this because he is the only link between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He's the only one who is able to perfectly keep God's first covenant of regulations so that we could have the second covenant of forgiveness. May we rejoice in the Lord that he continually cleanses our sin, that he does not allow that infection to run rampant in our lives. Let us hold fast to the important lessons that Jeremiah taught the Israelites and that we see in our text for today. Always be on the guard against sin and how easily it can spread forth in our lives. Pray to the Lord to give us patience and wisdom so that we don't react foolishly when he sends a trial or a test our way, but that we understand he's using it to strengthen our faith in Christ. After all, there is nothing that this world can tempt you with, that Satan or your sinful flesh can hurl at you, which is greater than that love that Jesus displayed for us. There's nothing out there at all. This love he willingly displayed for all mankind by suffering on the cross and rising again. If you think about it, the picture of a bandage or a band-aid is a good illustration of a substitute or a go-between. The bandage is there to function like skin and protect the inside of the body. Bandages today are often even designed to look and feel like skin. We can see a good example of that in Jesus Christ, our Savior. The only bandage that could cover our spiritual ailment. The only bandage that could take care of the cuts and the scrapes from our sinful flesh. And the only bandage that can cover us with forgiveness until we safely reach our home in heaven. Thanks be to the Lord that he gives us his comforting cleansing process, but that he doesn't leave it there. He also gives us the comforting bandage of forgiveness. Thanks be to the Lord that no matter how bruised or battered we may become in this life, no matter how much Satan wants to tempt us, there's nothing that is too strong for the comfort of the Lord. There's nothing that the Lord cannot heal us from. Thanks be to the Lord that he continually cleanses us and heals us with his forgiveness. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.